everyone, and welcome to the Mile 99 Interview. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Harris. The Mile 99 Interview is a place to hang out with like-minded folks in our running community. This is also the place to share successes and stories and maybe even some failures. This is also the place to get the latest in local race news and find out where to volunteer. Tonight, I'm joined by the best co-host in the whole world, Greg Larkin. How you doing, Greg?
Doing okay. Yep. I guess the taper has started. So I will be doing the race next week. I was lucky enough to get a spot from the radio team volunteers. And so I'm going back to the 100K distance. It was my first 100K in 2018 and anxious to check out the new course. So we'll get all the details tonight. How are you, Jessica?
I'm great. I last minute picked up the Bad Luck Run Club Placer Trail Running Festival aid station at Folsom Peninsula Campground. Oh my gosh, that is so beautiful. I've never been there before. And I was there for about 6 hours and they had 40 something runners and it was low key and happy and my kids were out there. And so it was a really good day. I'm so used to, and I'm not going to forget it, but I worked at the aid station for such a short time. I was like, this is so easy. Oh my gosh. And then as we know, I'll be at Canyons and it'll be 28 hours or something like that. Right. So I should remember that it's not always going to be a 6 hour shift. So I'm doing really good. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Now I'm looking forward to seeing you and everybody at Mammoth Bar next weekend at some point. So, but between Canyons and all the rest of the races going on, we just want to, I guess we got a dog in the background here, if you can hear that. We just want to go into some of the other races that will be coming up after Canyons here real quick. We've got the Folsom 100, and that's going to be in May 4th. Great race put on by Ray Sanchez and his team there. I think they're looking for volunteers, or I think they're pretty full on that race though already. So that's a big one. And then we've got Ben Mitchell and his team putting on the Badass Backyard Ultra over in Rio Linda. So if you're into that format, which I am, but I'm probably not going to be able to do that one because I think it conflicts with the trip I have to take this time. Go check that out if you want to get in shape for one of the Backyard Ultras coming up later this year. That'd be a good way to test the things out. I think there's going to be another one later this year by Bad Luck Run Club in November. So this might be a good tune-up. Get yourself into that. And then Western States has their whole training camp weekend coming up over Memorial Day. So I'm sure we're going to be out there volunteering or checking that out at some point. That's always a great time for everybody doing Western States or even just pacing it, you know, just to get familiar with the course. Did radio support there last year. It was super fun. And then I guess the other one I'll talk about here real quick is Cool Moon, 100 miler. It's coming up. They've got all kinds of distances though for that. I mean, 50 mile, 25, 13 and a half, choose your distance. And Martin Sengo, I mean, we know he puts on a great race and that one's a perennial local favorite now. You know, a lot of people go on to get out and try that. I think our man Craig Thornley is going to be using it for PTL training. That's the inside scoop I hear on that. So go check out Cool Moon as well. I think that's a great one to try. And then we've got Canyons. So did you want to talk about like volunteering or anything, Jessica?
Yes, I have one shift that I need a lot of help for. It's Saturday night from 5:30 to 10:30. And Mammoth Bar is super easy to get to. And it's beautiful at nighttime. It's not scary or there's no animals, I promise. And if you volunteer with us, we don't do a raffle for any race entries that we do it on the amount of volunteer hours that you've ever volunteered with me or Greg through the season. So if you were with us for Way Too Cool or whatever, so, or the year before, if you volunteered at Canyons for 12 hours, you're doing another 12. We kind of do it on how many hours you've given back to the community. So I urge you to volunteer. There's some, I just saw them on Wednesday. The t-shirts for the race that the volunteers get to wear are super cool. They say race, they say something cool on the back, like staff. You look very important in them. And you also get some gloves that are very cool that have the Canyons logo on them. They're black and they have the cool fingertips, I think, on them. So, and you get food. Like they'll feed you after your shift, which is pretty cool. So I'm going to drop the link. It's volunteer local. And yeah, sign on your waivers, get your shirts, sizing and stuff all over there. And hopefully we'll see you at Mammoth Bar. And if you can't work the full shift, sign up for it anyways, and then cut out early. No worries with me. We'll adjust everything. So thank you for any hours that you guys want to send over my way. Yeah. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, fantastic.
Oh, also, I'll be on the mic for Cool Moon the whole time. So I'll be announcing for Cool Moon. So come run the race and you'll hear me talk about you.
All right. Picking up some gigs. Excellent. Yeah. Well, before we get to the interview proper, talking about Catula, one of our sponsors, and we're just really happy that they've signed up with us this year again. And we love talking about them because they have some fantastic products, very well made from a small company, very grassroots kind of community driven company. And I've been using their micro spikes, not so much this time of year, but back in New England, you know, in the snow. And then whenever we have got snow, I think there's still some snow up in the mountains though. And they have great traction devices, you know, micro spikes, nano spikes. And then once we start getting into the warm weather here and you're starting to get onto those really dusty and rocky and kind of gravelly trails, get a pair of their gaiters. And I used those last year. Jessica used those last year, and they just keep your feet like really nice, keep the rocks out and get you moving without having to worry about getting a lot of that stuff in there causing blisters and all that. So thank you, Catula. We're really happy to be partnering with you again this year, as I said. And if you go to their website, KAHTOOLA.com, Catula.com, you can use our shipping discount code, TheMile99. You'll get free shipping, expedited shipping on your products, and you'll get them right away. So there might still be time before Canyons if you're looking for something like that. So check it out, Catula.com, TheMile99 is our code, and on to the interview.
Thanks so much, Greg. I love Catula. Perfect for hot and cold weather. So thanks, Catula. But tonight, I think we rushed because we're so excited to see our friends. We always see them around this time of year. If you want to get to know them even better, check out episode 32 and 45. And just for reference, we're on episode 121 right now, so that they've been longtime supporters of us. We've been friends with them for a long time. Please welcome to the show, Chaz and Abby and Sean. Sean, how are you doing?
Well, I've made it to Auburn. So yeah, just gearing up for Canyons. I spent most of the day today visiting most of the businesses. We did a big business outreach program. We got some feedback from the Chamber of Commerce last year, and a lot of the businesses are very excited to have us this year. So you'll see a lot more involvement from them.
That's great news. And what do you do for Canyons? No, I'm just kidding.
I would say to sum it up, like a lot of the logistics and operations. And most of the Excel sheets and charts that you see come from me.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for coming back, Sean. And Abby, how are you?
Good. Thank you. Good to be here.
Nice to see you. What background do you have over there?
Let's see here. It's the beautiful trail, right?
It looks nice. Well, it's good to see you. And what do you do for Canyons, Abby? Or what don't you do? No, I'm just kidding.
We all kind of cover everything we need to have done. I work a lot with permits and operations. Let's see. Yeah, a lot of the mapping and aid station layouts and traffic control, all the background stuff.
That's so fun. The race
I'll be down at the Ultra Lounge this year too. I'll be at the finish helping organize the Ultra Lounge. So I'll be welcoming all the racers in tonight this year.
That's so rewarding, right? Yeah. Chaz, how are you? Welcome back.
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having us. Yeah, we're excited. It's coming up quick. And, you know, we've got a great team, Abby and Sean. Their professionalism and their dedication to creating a wonderful event for all our participants, whether you're a spectator, a volunteer, or a runner, they go above and beyond. So I'm honored to have them as my partners.
And just real quick, how long have you guys all been working together for Canyons?
This is like 10 years now.
Too long.
14 was the first year, and then we had the COVID cancellation. But so yeah, this is year 10, and both Abby and Sean came on in like 2015. And I said, here you go. Good luck. Get it done. I mean, you know, so it's been quite a transformation. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. So, you know, it's a great team effort. And we brought on a really good team, Michael Lee and Angela Millard and Ken Castrico, MJ Johnson. Like, we've just got some of the best people in our community and that care a whole bunch for our sport. So.
Well, and I think it speaks like that trickle down, right? It works the opposite too. If you're good people follow you. And so I just personally think you guys are wonderful. And I could talk a lot about that, but we're going to talk about Canyons because I think that's why everyone's here. So we're going to get into some of the race details. This is pretty general information, guys. Feel free to ask any questions that you couldn't find on the website. The website is canyons.utmb.world/races, and it'll pull up your race for you. It has every detail, start times, vertical, mandatory gear. We're going to go over all that stuff. But if you, you know, miss something here, please go to the website before you send an email to your race director, because most likely it's on there, or check their social medias too. So we're going to start off. We have a 100-miler. We're going to arrive at 9 a.m. on the 26th at China Wall. Is that right, Sean?
That's correct. Yep.
You have 35 hours to run to Auburn. It has 18,000 feet of vert and 22,000 of descent. The Western States qualifying time for the 100 mile is 35 hours. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Excuse me. We also have the 100K. Is this the second year of the 100 miler?
It is.
Yep. It's the second year. And totally different course. Or is it similar to last year?
Like the cool loop would be almost is identical. Last year, because of the snow, we only made it as far as Forest Hill. And we started and finished in downtown Auburn. This time we're starting in China Wall and finishing in downtown Auburn for the 100 mile and 100K.
So I see that there's more descent than vert. So I hope people have prepared the quads for that. I'm very excited to take care of you at Mammoth Bar, if not, but it's a good, you know, reminder. We have the 100K the next day. It's on April 27th. It start at 5 a.m. from China Wall. Is this all correct? Yep. Okay. And you have 21 hours to run to Auburn with 13,000 feet of vert and 17,000 of descent. So still a lot. It's a downhill race with some good climbs in there. And the Western States qualifying time is 20 hours. So you have 21 hours to finish it. But if you want to have your qualifier, it's for Western States, it's 20 hours. Is that still all correct information? Sweet. Awesome. The 50K is also on the 27th, but a completely different start location. It starts at 6 a.m., but you're running from downtown Auburn. You have 10 hours to run back to Auburn with 5,600 feet of vertical gain. The 25K starts shortly after in the same location, downtown Auburn, at 7 a.m. on the 27th, and you have 5 hours to run back to Auburn with 2,800 feet of vertical gain. I also see that there's a kids race. Talk to me about the kids race, Sean.
Yeah. So, okay. We felt it'd be great if we got a kids race involved. You know, a lot of these people are coming out to run this race, have families and are bringing their kids, you know, and they're going to be the future of our sport. So we thought it necessary and it'd be a good, you know, community orientated event. And it's going to kick off an hour before our Friday night party in downtown Auburn. There's more information on our website. And kids will register with their parents at the expo an hour prior to the race. So, and I think the course is about a quarter mile long.
Right. And they get a little bib.
They get the cutest little bib. I wish I could see you guys right now, but yeah, it's adorable. And yeah, there's a special prize for them when they finish as well.
That's so cute. So we're going to get, I really love that. I hope that everyone has a billion pictures of that. I won't be able to see that, but I'm dying to see that. Just a bunch of kids mad starting. It's the best thing. They all run as fast as they can for like the first 25 meters, and then they all kind of trickle back.
Yeah, and it's cool because it's, you know, we closed down High Street right there in front of Paula's shop, the aid station in Jody, and they're going to start and finish in the finish shoot right there. So get your cameras ready.
So cute. I love it so much. So we're going to get into more of the nitty gritty details, things that we've seen circulated on social media, just for clarification. Again, the website is the best place to get all this information and any emails that are coming from Canyons. But again, the 100 mile and the 100K, they started at China Wall, and all runners need to take the shuttles. So what if someone's like, oh, but someone can drop me off? What do you say about that, Chaz?
Yeah, no, that can lead to a whole lot of traffic jam and runners not getting to the start on time and not being able to run. Forest Hill Road is the only access to China Wall. There is no parking at China Wall. That's our permit, as spelled out by the U.S. Forest Service. So, yeah, we have plenty of shuttles. The shuttles will get out there in plenty of time, and they will stage right near China Wall, so you don't have to get out and just stand out in the cold. So, yeah, please don't drive out. Don't get dropped off. It is, you know, it's an important thing that we don't want to have to delay the race and get, you know, a shuttle stuck because 100 people decide, well, I'm not taking the shuttle. I'm just going to drive out there because I don't want to get up 20, 30 minutes earlier. So,
yeah,
it's in our permit. And if we want our permits to keep getting signed, we need to follow those.
Yeah. And anyone who's new to the area, the ride from Auburn to Forest Hill is not, it's not like a freeway once you get off the exit. So being in a bus and a shuttle with other people, it's the best way. The road's not wide enough. It just gets a little crazy.
Quick question on the departures, the 100K. I know they start early and maybe you can specify the time again for everybody. I know it's in the guide, but just wanted to double check. Is it multiple pickups or is it just kind of like everybody gets on a whole set of buses at the same time and they all just go as a group?
You know, there's a time frame. I think we're going to start around 2:45 and we have 13 shuttles. The shuttle pickup for the 100K and the 100 mile is Overlook and Railhead Park and Pacific Avenue. So when a shuttle's full, off it will go. We're not just going to send a shuttle at 2:45 because it's 2:45 if there's no one on it. But we all know how ultra runners are. If we say 2:45, there will be people there at 2:30 ready to go. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. You can get on the shuttle, take a nap, and relax. So they're going to go as they're full. And there is no like exact timeline, but the last shuttle is at 3:45 because it takes a good hour for those shuttles to get up to China Wall. I would not risk trying to grab the last shuttle in case it's full. So, you know, just plan accordingly. There's plenty of parking up there. And for those who've asked at Railhead and Overlook and the other parking lots just north of there, there's the Auburn staging area, and then there's the north lot. And all along Pacific Avenue, you can car camp overnight. I've fielded a couple of questions on that. So Auburn and Manoush at ARD have been very welcoming. And so we basically have plenty of parking, plenty of shuttle space. Get there kind of early if you want to guarantee yourself a seat and no stress. And just hang out and take the shuttle. Yeah.
And a delicate question, have there been any additional porta potties taken out to China Wall?
Oh, I think we forgot that. Abby, did you get any porta potties for
China? One or two. Yeah. Yeah, we do have porta potties at China Wall.
Asking the questions. Great.
Yeah.
Funny. But along with parking, there's no overnight parking at Michigan Bluff. That has been talked about. We want to highlight that. No, just parking at Overlook, Railhead, and Pacific Avenue. Correct? Yeah.
Can we just say that there's no overnight parking at any crew or non-crew locations on course, with the exception of parking at Overlook and Railhead?
Yeah. And, you know, for anyone who goes, well, it's just me, I'm not going to cause too much fuss. It's such a large race that other people have that idea too. So it's best to just park and use the shuttles and the services that, you know, they've laid out. It's good to ask questions and be curious on why things. So we're here. So if you have any other questions about parking, please send them over and we'll field them during the interview or even after. We can make sure that those get answered to you as well. So you can't get dropped off for the 100K and the 100 miler. So where's the first place that people can crew you for each of those races and see you?
Abby?
Forgot to ask you.
Well, Michigan Bluff for the 100 mile and 100K. That's a crewing area. You do have to park on Chicken Hawk Road. You cannot park on Michigan Bluff Road, there's plenty of room on Chicken Hawk, and you do have to hike in the half mile down to the aid station. There is no access down to the aid station for crewing. It is a bit of an incline, but it's a nice walk, and it's a nice area to crew your family, your runner, and hang out.
Awesome. We're also going to talk about pacers, where the first place for people to get their pacers for the 100K or the 100 miler. Sean, where can people get their pacers for the 100 miler?
Cool one and cool two. So that's miles 62.9 and 75.1. And I'd like to clarify. So you could have one pacer starting at cool one, bringing you back to cool two, and then one pacer from cool two to the finish.
Awesome. And then do pacers need to get a bib or sign a release or anything like that?
They do. So they could do that at the expo, sign the waiver to get their pacer bib, or they could do that at aid station at Cool.
Awesome. Do they need any parking permits or anything at Cool?
I can't remember. It's Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cool's a day use area. If you don't have a poppy pass, pay your parking fee. There potentially will be some overflow parking on St. Florian, sort of how Julie does it with Way Too Cool. Mm-hmm. That's sort of limit more reserved for staff and volunteers. And depending, it's, you know, the 100 miler is not as going to be as busy. So it's going to be well spread out. It won't be, we don't have the 100K going there this year. So it won't be quite so hectic. It'll be pretty reserved.
And just as like a seasoned runner, how early should pacer get to an aid station to feel like ready? If they're tracking their runner, how early do you think they should get there, Chaz?
I would say a 45-minute time window is good. So we have live tracking this year. So you should have a pretty good idea of where your runner is. So yeah, my poor runner at Western States, he had to wait 5 hours because I needed to take a nap. So he's on one side of the river, I'm on the other. But yeah, I would think, you know, a good 45-minute window. The timing system and updates should work really well. So yeah, you don't need to get there too early, you know.
Well, and the nice thing about Cool is if you're pacing and you're not familiar with the area, it's really easy to get to. And there's a grocery store, there's a pizza place, there's businesses around the area. So it's really a nice, convenient spot, and you can support the businesses that are, you know, really help out the race. I know that pizza place on the corner, like, provides power for races and, you know, gives out some parking spaces. So it's always good. Maybe go hungry, get a little pizza, go to the grocery store. It's really nice for that, the smaller towns that we participate that way in Auburn, Cool, Forest Hill, wherever we are. So we're going to get through, we're going to talk about cutoffs because we just got a little bit of an update. So Sean, do you want to talk about, there's been some adjustments to the 100 mile cutoff.
Both 100 mile and 100K. So, you know, the snow has melted up at Chinewall, out to Deadwood. So runners are getting out on course and training, you know, and this is our first time doing this course with swing and bridge descent. So we didn't really have any historical data to base our cutoffs on. So it was all kind of best guesstimates and just using random Strava tracks. And that's kind of how we generate some of our cutoffs. And then we factor in terrain accessibility for, you know, search and rescue or extraction. And we work with our local first responders on some of that. So we've been getting some live data from people out on course over the last few days. We've seen the social media posts. We've seen all the emails. We felt it necessary to listen to everyone, and we made some adjustments at both Michigan Bluff and Forest Hill. So for the 100 miler, we changed the cutoff Michigan Bluff from 4 p.m. to 4:30. So you get an extra half hour there. And then in the 100 mile Forest Hill, we had it from 6 p.m. to 6:15, so you get an extra 15 minutes there. And the same time frame difference in the 100K, so at Michigan Bluff, it moved from 12 p.m. noon to 12:30, and at Forest Hill from 2 p.m. to 2:15.
But that obviously doesn't change your finish time. You still have to finish in the overall time. It's just those two aid stations, you have a little bit more time to get to.
That's correct.
I know sometimes that can be confusing for people. They're like, wait, I had more time. but your overall finish time still needs to be 35 hours and 21 hours.
But yeah, and it is. Yeah. So the overalls do not change. It's just that one section is, and to that point, it's probably the most difficult section on the course, right?
Yeah. So that was nice and thorough of you guys to kind of look into that and make sure people have a successful day. We want finishers. We want a lot of them. So good call. We want you to get to Mammoth Bar. I'll have a lot of food for you guys. So yeah. Another nitty gritty question is bib pickup. Are we picking up bibs in the morning?
No.
No. For so any distance.
There is a bib pickup. Let me just clarify. So the 100 mile, 100K are definitely not doing race morning bib pickup. And that's just due to the sheer volume of runners and, you know, where the shuttles are being picked up at. Mm-hmm. So I know that is not conducive to how us ultra runners like to do things, especially like in a 50K and 25K. I mean, I'm notorious for showing up, you know, right before a race and picking up my bid. So
yeah.
No race morning pickup, a bid pickup for the 100 mile and 100K. On Saturday morning, we are going to do bid pickup prior to the 50K and 25K. And that is going to be between 5 a.m. and 5:45 a.m. only.
Awesome. But you're already taking the weekend off. Take another day, go to the village, see your people. Don't rush your morning. You know, spend an extra day with everyone. And then that goes down. People are picking up their bibs and then they go, well, I don't think I'm ready for the 50K. Abby, can they drop down or even 100K? Can you drop down to any distance?
No, you can only drop down to the 25K.
Okay.
That's due to permitting numbers that we are allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And all distances are sold out other than the 25K. So that is the only distance that anybody can drop down to at this point. Sean, do you want to elaborate any more on that?
No, I think you nailed it. Yeah. So, I mean, the 100K sold out first, shortly after was the 100 miler and then the 50K. So yeah, we're limiting drop downs just to the 25K right now. And I believe that distance is going to sell out here pretty shortly.
Yeah, it's a pretty good price for a nice race. So I just saw that on the website, which you should go to because it's very cool. And that's also, the website's also where you go for the live tracking or the live stream and the runner tracking, right?
It is. Yep.
John.
Oh, well, no. Yes and no. So there's going to be the live stream that's following, you know, the elite field and the 100K and 100 mile. And then there's the live trail, which will be following the entire field.
Okay.
Yep. And both those links will be, actually they're live right now on our website. I just looked. So yeah, there's two different things. There's the live broadcast, which I think is broadcasted in 5 or 7 different languages and on several different channels. And then live trail is runner tracking, you know, where your runners are at. And we added a in the runner's guide, I highly recommend looking at the runner tracking section because we added some QR codes for both Android and iOS to link to Live Trail. And there's also another link in there. We developed a Where's My Runner frequently asked questions. And it's the most amount of questions we get at a race that we're seeing a new demographic to this sport, you know, just getting in a trail and how do you figure out where your runner is? I mean, we know everyone on this call that I would say 90% of the trail has no cell connection. And that's why Greg is a ham radio operator. And our timing relies on cellular. So if your runner's not coming into an aid station on the tracking, I'd wait an hour. That doesn't mean they're lost or they're missing or they dropped out of the race. It just means there's limited data out there.
When people are at an aid station and they're crewing for someone, they're not seeing any updates. Do they ask the volunteer? Do they go up to the radio operator? Abby, what should you do if you're at an aid station and you're feeling like really where and you've gone through the FAQs? What do you do?
If you're at an aid station and you've gone through the facts and you're trying to find your runner, is that the question? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, that's okay. Like, so say you're newer to the sport, you're nervous. That happens. We're like, where's our runner? We've gone through it. We feel like we need an update on our runner immediately. Maybe what is some reassurance that your runner is probably okay? Or, you know, should you be talking to the aid station captain or the radio tent to find your runner?
I would suggest going to our website and reviewing those facts before you even get to the race. Download that application for the ultralive tracking, get those facts so that you're already reassured where you can find your runner. And be, like Sean said, rest assured, there is very little connectivity on the trail. Your runner may look like they've not checked in for a while, but there's going to be a huge lag. So just keep checking the ultralive. If you're very concerned, you can check with an aid station captain. If you're downtown, you know, go to a director or somebody, but most of the time they're going to show up on that tracker eventually. It's, yeah, there's just very little connectivity out there. And we try our best to keep everybody in. And our ham radios will, you know, will call in when somebody is dropped. So that will be updated.
That's really good. And that's pretty quick from my experience. When we radio it over, it gets over to net control and the drop is immediately updated on the live tracking. And something that I wanted to point out is if you're new to the sport and your best friend asks you to crew, but you don't really know what you're doing, there's actually people we send at the back of the race that if something happens to your runner, an actual human will usually be able to collect them or help them out. So they're not just out there by themselves forever. We clear the course of humans and all that stuff. So a real human will be able to pick them up. And we would know that. So they're not going to be out in that 5 mile section completely alone forever. What's up, Sean?
Yeah. And I just want to elaborate on what Abby said. We have what we call net control. Mm-hmm. Joe is on this call right now. He is the lead ham radio operator for Western States, and him and his team comes and helps us at Canyons. So we have a very extensive team with a lot of knowledge, and we go through a list of protocols of how to locate unaccounted runners. So we're well aware of it well before the public is. If a runner is unaccounted for, and we have a process to figure out how to locate them if they are truly off course. And 90% of the time, they're on course.
Totally. What's up, Chats?
So basically, if you can't see them on the live tracking, we can't see them, or they're not updated on the live tracking. So if there's an aid station that's got 50 runners in it, and everyone's working hard to get them fed and watered and out, they don't have any more information than what's available on the live tracking. So rest assured, they're probably fine. There's only so many places they can go. We will take care of them for sure.
Definitely. So. And in my experience, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, you keep runners like going off course and us not knowing about it, aid station to aid station or net controller or the directors of the race, it doesn't happen like often. I mean, like a very small handful of times have I known that someone has just disappeared and we haven't found them. And then we find them because they text us or they do something silly. So if you are a runner listening and you feel like today is not your day, do you just get picked up on the side of the road? Chaz, what should you do if you're a runner and you just go, today is not my day? I'm going to call it.
So in the rare occurrence where that happens, you must go straight to the finish line and contact one of the finish line volunteers, Abby or Dan Savage, or go to the nearest aid station, turn in your bib, and let them know you are dropped. We have stayed up for hours and people go, oh yeah, I got a ride and sorry, I didn't answer my phone because I was sleeping. And we can't go to sleep until you're all accounted for.
And
the best place to drop is at an aid station. Give your bib to the aid station captain that will go to the radio, that will get called in as a DNF, and then your family, your loved ones will know where you're at, that you're DNF'd. We have a great transportation team. We will do our best to get you picked up as soon as we can. But if you have crew there or family there that's giving you a ride, let them know, I have a ride. I don't need a ride. But do not leave the course without contacting some race volunteer captain. Just it's extremely important. Because what would happen if we can't find you? We may have to activate search and rescue.
Yeah.
And that's very cheap, and you don't want to pay that bill.
And new this year, on the back of your bib in red, I believe it's at the top of the bib, there's an emergency number. So If you're immobile, that is the number to call. But also if you remove yourself from course and are getting picked up, not by the event, by a family member or crew, there you call that number and let us know that you removed yourself from course and are no longer in the race. So there's a number on the back of the bib now.
That's fancy. That's helpful. But still, do the thing. Go to the aid station. You're not that far away.
Yep, that's the best one.
That's the best one. But emergencies do happen, so that's nice. So you're at an aid station. There's a lot of aid stations. And Canyon, as being an aid station captain for Canyons for a little bit, they give us a lot of wiggle room on the food that we can have. And there is variety between aid stations. But Chaz, can you talk to us about what maybe some of the standards that an aid station is going to see?
So everyone's going to have water and hydration mix. Our nutrition sponsor is NAC. And then we have their drink mix. We have their wonderful bars, their puree, and we'll have gels. We'll have all those sweet and salty things that everyone's accustomed to, fruit. The nighttime aid stations, when it gets late and cold, there'll be warm food. And almost all will have broth or some sort of soup. Some may make quesadillas, some may have bacon, some may do grilled cheese. So there may be some pasta. So it's all sort of going to be dependent on where you're at and what distance you're running.
Yeah. And I believe most aid stations have vegan options, like the broth. They usually do vegetable. So there's options for a lot of different dietary paths and stuff. So that's always been really helpful. I know Mammoth Bar, we went almost all vegan last year just to cover. We're just like, let's just keep it potatoes, vegan cheese and butter. And everyone was happy. I think we did bring in the occasional pizza though, but you know, there'll be food for you guys. But if they, you know, you are specific about certain things, your drop bags are a good place to store things. Kind of look at that layout, I would say, and make sure you have your stuff. So that's really exciting. And then some of the non-food items that I think are important for people to know that aid stations have, because sometimes you forget, is, you know, we'll have bug spray if you're going into the night, especially going into the canyon. I know at Mammoth Bar, we will definitely remind you if you would like that on your person, because it is a good idea. We'll have, you know, Vaseline for any chafe spots, sunscreen during the day. So the aid stations are pretty stocked with that. We also have medical. I don't work for Canyons. I'm not here. But the race does have medical along the course. Sometimes I feel like, and maybe Chaz, you can speak to this, runners feel like if they go see medical, they're going to get pulled from the race. Is that true?
No. So they're there to help assess the situation, do their best to get you feeling better, whatever that assessment is, and whether we will have foot care. We have a great team. Karen Rose is our medical director, and Bill Rose is our emergency extraction team leader. And so we just had a foot care clinic here at the Roses. And so we're going to have at the runner's briefing for the 100-mile, 100K, how to do some preventative foot care, because that seems to be one of the biggest things that we see. El Dorado Creek for the 100-mile, 100K will be, you will get your feet wet. And so, yeah, no, we're doing our best to keep you moving and get out. It may take 30 minutes for you to get reset, to get some broth, to get some food, to get... Forecast for now looks great, so I don't think we're going to have the overheating issues that we've had last year. So yeah, use them as a resource. They have tons of experience, and they will do everything to keep you going. If they do decide that you are not able or fit to move on, they do have the power to pull you or hold you until they feel you are able to move on. It's for your safety, and you know, it takes a lot of resources. If someone goes down on the trail in the middle of a canyon, it's not that easy to get you out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw, I think the trail community calls it carnage. We saw a lot of carnage at Mammoth Bar last year, most I've ever seen. But people do recover, and they spent a while at medical, and then they were cleared, and I checked on a bunch of them. They finished, and they were fine. So if you need to take the time, you are important. Your race is important too. So yeah, medical's there. We'll have medical at Mammoth Bar. We love that. Another thing that we want to make sure that we touch on is drop bags. Abby, why don't you talk to me about drop bags?
So there are no drop bags for the 100 mile or 100K the morning of the races. Again, we touched bases on this earlier just due to the shuttle rides that are, they're not located down at the expo, and that's where drop bags are. So we need to make sure everybody drops their bags the night before. We have designated areas, and they're going to be loaded into dyno bags and taken out to your locations. We will have at the 100 mile, 100K start, we will have a small area to collect any like jackets or anything that you have, you know, extra stuff that you need to drop. We don't want to make it too much because it's just a small area. But if you do have something you need to drop, we can take it back to the finish line for you to pick up there. Let's see. There are no drop bags for the 50K or 25K. Remind me, Sean and Chaz, are we letting them drop at the start for after race?
Like finish line bags?
The 50K, 25K, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have an area for all distances to have like a finish line bag. So for the 25K, 50K, there will be a location at the expo. For the 100 mile, 100K, there will be a table and finish line bag drop area.
Yes.
Label all your, put all your stuff in a bag with your bib. You're labeled with your bib number, please.
Got it.
But again, we just want to emphasize there is no morning of drop bags for 100 mile and 100K.
And how big is the size on the drop bags? Someone is kind of worried since they have so many dietary restrictions that, you know, they're not going to be able to fit it all. But can you give us the size that we're looking for the drop bags? This big. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But no. They're basically asking if that was a hard rule. Like,
it is. Yeah.
Really, yeah.
I mean, obviously, listen, no suitcases, no, you know,
yeah.
Home Depot, black and yellow bins. If you check I'm looking this up as we're doing it right now. If you go to the race regulations, I'll post a link in the chat here. I'm pretty sure there's a size 8x10. It has to fit through an 8x10 opening and no longer than 16 inches. It is on page 11 of our race regulations.
Vacuum seal your mashed potatoes, basically. Freeze dry them. Add some water to them. Get creative. But yeah, it does need to be on that size because there are so many runners. Everyone needs equal opportunities for that. Another thing we're going to get to, just a yes or no, Chaz. Someone is asking, is there going to be ice at the aid stations?
Yes, there will be ice at the aid stations. So use it sparingly. It's you know, the morning starts are going to be chilly in the 40s, and highs are not going to get in above the 70s. And I saw some questions in the chat real quick. There's no snow on course. All the trees have been cleared, and there's a small section left that we're clearing this weekend. Myself and the trail team, along with the Western States trail team, have been working long, hard hours carrying saws and tools. We've done a lot of great work, and I don't want to go on and on about it, but trail work is the backbone of these events. Without trail work, you will not have a great trail to run on. So that is one of our big focuses. So we'd love to see you come out and volunteer with us and or Western States or any other trail group that is doing trail work. Trail's in great shape. And yeah, enjoy. We've done some great work. So we're hoping for record times.
That's amazing. And then another question, was there any reason why the change was made to allow poles for all distances? Sean, do you want to take that one on?
Yeah, so I was just responding. I don't, sorry. Yeah, we've always allowed poles.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think
Abby says no. Wait, what?
Oh, well, when we used to do the out and backs, we didn't allow poles.
There would be cross traffic.
Yeah.
Cross traffic, yep. Now we don't have that, so.
Oh, I missed that course. Okay. The new one's great, guys. Everyone should do it 100 times, but man, I love that course. And then everyone finishes the race. It's going to be awesome. What is the swag looking like if you finish a 100 mile race?
So,
Chaz.
100 milers will get their shirt. everyone gets a shirt. 100 miles, we'll get a custom made 10th anniversary buckle.
What?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have one to show me?
No.
I'm just kidding. No spoilers. And then 100K, what are they getting?
They're getting the Canyons belt as usual. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do the 100K, you get the belt. Then you step up to the 100 mile, you get the buckle. Boom. It's something we've been doing for a long time. But yeah, it's, you know, the post-race food. And this year we're also giving, we're going to have a drink ticket and a food ticket. So you can get a burrito and a delicious Crooked Lane beer at the finish.
That's so cool.
And then if that's not enough, go see Paolo at the aid station. He's got a whole slew of beers and ciders. And then on Friday, we're going to have Podnerosa is going to be out there as well. The local Auburn cider company. I stopped in yesterday for samples. It's very delicious.
It's their 1 year anniversary party tomorrow night.
Yeah. So we're going to go. So everyone come out to Podnerosa Cider. It's on Gum Lane over there, kind of by the overlook.
Yeah, it's kind of tucked in. It's really cute. Bad Luck Run Club, their Sunset and Cider starts and finishes at Ponderosa Cider. So that was when I... Anyways, yes, it's beautiful. We should go there. They are really generous to our trail community. Like, really, really generous. So, thanks, Ponderosa. Big ups to that. Okay, what else do we got here? Greg, am I missing anything in the chats? Any last-minute questions?
No, I think we covered everything, but I did want to just give the team here just a minute, I guess, to just open it up. Just if there's anything else on their mind that we haven't covered or anything that's popped up in the last few days or anything like that.
So there's been the ongoing saga of Cal Street access issues. So it's been changing daily. And kudos to the Western States team, Diana Fitzpatrick, John Katz, Craig Thornley, dealing with the private property issues. There was going to be a deal made that would leave the trail open in perpetuity for the public. That's still happening. And so we had a workaround like we did last year. We went down the Cal Street. You had to go down Forest Hill Road, then down Sierra View right there by Wharton's and connect with Cal Street at the Cal One Western States aid station. So we will be going down at this point and the normal route, the historic route, except for one little detour. It'll be marked. We're going to do our best to get the GPX updated, but, and this goes for all events, all distances, follow the course marking. We may have to make last minute changes for whatever reason. So follow the course marking, not your GPX. If your watch starts beeping at you, follow the course marking. If you get off, if you're on a trail and you don't see a course marking for a quarter mile, you will then turn around and go back to where you last saw your course marking sign, whatever. We have plenty of signs, arrows, critical turns. All the stuff is in the runner's guide. But yeah, just know that we're going to do our best to check all course markings race morning to make sure there's no vandalism. There is potential for vandalism. So if you do know the actual route, you've run it before, and like, hey, this someone's taking the ribbons down. Let the next aid station captain know to go out there and fix it, or, you know, give us a heads up. We've experienced it. Many or most races experience it for whatever reason. But follow the course markings. Do not follow the GPX. But we're really close. It's a very slight detour. Stays off of one parcel that is in sort of question. But anyway, we're glad to be back on the basic Cal Street loop from Forest Hill to Driver's Flat.
Writing. Good information. And then Sean, do you want to talk about, we're going to talk about volunteering because I think it's really important. This race is almost filled up, but there's some key spots that the community really needs to fill besides Mammoth Bar. And why, what is this thing with Volunteer Local? Why do we need to go in and sign away and do all that stuff?
I am so happy you brought this up. So yeah, I'm going to hit on a few things here. But first, we are in dire need of some critical race operation volunteer positions. If you go to our Become a Volunteer landing page, you'll see those lists listed there. I'll go through them right now. So the passenger van drivers, traffic marshals, and we have a few aid stations that still need help: ALT, Michigan Bluff, Cal 2, and the Confluence. It is very important to sign up and register on Volunteer Local, mainly just to have your contact information, you know, to, and there's, Angela does an amazing job of providing all the necessary and critical information for your position, you know, including Google Maps and directions and timeframes, and you get automatic updates. So if there's a shift change or location change, it's automatically done through there. The biggest reason to get on there, and I think this is going to be the first time we're announcing
Mile 99, you heard it first here.
Yeah, so we are Suji Smelter, who's the race director of the Kodiak Ultra Endurance Marathons. She has been working some laborious hours right after her event this past October and has developed and built a volunteer incentive program that we're going to be announcing here shortly. And everybody who has volunteered at Canyons will be grandfathered into this. So once you have your Volunteer Local profile and you start accumulating hours, you will hit certain tiers and, you know, you could get shoes, swag, race entries, you know, credits to the merchandise store, that type of stuff. So we're pretty excited about it. And so look for an announcement coming soon.
That's why I prompted you to say it. I'm so excited about this program because it's very exciting. I love it so much. So yes, sign in, Volunteer Local, sign up for a shift. They're usually not too long. They're so much fun. You got lots of options and it's before race day. You know, you can sign up for shifts like binning and all sorts of stuff. Then you get to see these people in real life, in the flesh. It's so much fun.
Can I hit one more thing, Jess?
Yeah.
So the runner's guide, we're doing something new this year where the landing page on our website has a revision date. Constantly updating this because, you know, as we all know, you know, there's race logistics that are changing constantly up until race weekend. And we want the runner's guide to reflect that. So in the runner's guide at the bottom of each page, you'll see a revision date. So just make sure that that revision date matches the latest revision on the website, because there and then on the website it'll show the list of changes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
easy way to communicate for everyone. Well, you guys have already been on for 57 minutes. That feels awesome. It went by really quick. Sean or Chaz or Abby, anything else you want to tell your Canyons runners?
I'd like to say please be patient. There's a lot of people. There's gonna be a lot of traffic. Certain aid stations will be chaotic. Take care of yourself. If there's not an aid station person there to help you, fill your own water, grab your things. But yeah, just be polite. Take care of your fellow runners. If someone's down on the trail, take care of them. Don't leave them. Call the emergency number. Have fun. Enjoy the beautiful views. Make friends. And we'll see you at the start and then at the finish.
Yay.
Yeah.
Hug a volunteer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's talk about emergency services. You know, last year in the heat wave, you know, we had two incidences. And I just want to make sure that runners, spectators, crew, family, make way for them. You know, if their sirens are on and their lights are on, it's for a good reason. You know, and we're bringing a lot of people to this town. So respect the first responders.
Please. Yeah. Yeah. So to that point, we had our last meeting with the entire city of Auburn operations and teams. And the fire chief was like, hey, last year I was trying to drive down Roby Point with my lights on and people would not get it out of the way. They were cursing at me. And it's like, well, I've got someone down on a trail and you can't decide to let an emergency vehicle through to take care of a fellow runner. So please, if you do not step aside and yield for emergency vehicles, you will be disqualified.
Got it.
That is a firm DQ. It's very important that everyone is safe. It's not that important for you to step aside and wait a minute for a fire truck or an ambulance to go by. So please, and I get it, the majority of the people don't do that. It's the very small 1%, but please step aside.
Yeah. Sometimes you're a little grumpy at the end of your runs. I get it. Put that in your back pocket. Like, yeah. I can be grumpy in silence when I step off the trail. Good reminders, everyone. So we're going to get into the congratulations corner, which we started at the beginning of this year. We have so many because I posted, like, what has everyone been doing? And so I'm going to shout these people out. Sean or Abby or Chaz, do you have anyone in your community or yourself that you would like to say thank you or you rock to? Sean? No pressure.
I mean, our entire team. I feel like our team keeps growing year to year, and they've been putting in countless hours, and all these people have full-time jobs. And then all our volunteers, you know, as this race grows, we demand more and more of our volunteers. And, you know, here in Auburn and along the 80 corridor, I mean, I think there's 3 trail races every weekend. So you guys are all tired. And, you know, this is one of the main reasons that we're pushing this volunteer incentive program, because we just want to show our appreciation. And yeah, we love you guys.
Yes.
Well, so I think first is our permitting agencies, our partners, City of Auburn, Placer County, Forest Hill, our great trail team headed up by Elka Reimer, our medical team, Karen Rose, Angela Millard, Sean and Abby, Michael Lee, and most of all the volunteers. And last and not least, our runners. Without you, we wouldn't be here.
We would look really weird out there if there was no one else. Abby, what about you?
They took the words out of my mouth. I mean, we're so appreciative of everybody. We have such an amazing team. We just couldn't do this without everybody. It's a really great feeling to have such a wonderful community. Thank you all.
I love it so much. We also saw that Beth, Susan, and Katie finished different distances, but the Lake Sonoma Trail Sisters race that just happened. And Tina wanted to shout out Paula Hamilton. She said, quote, she smoked LS50, sub-13 and the first in her age group. I believe she was the only 60-year-old woman to finish, and she's going to be so ready for Western States this year. Congratulations, all 4 of you guys.
Fantastic job there. And we also had some runners from this area that went over to the Boston Marathon. And Robert Johnson, Michelle Petrillo, local runners. I actually know also I made a new friend last year doing trail work out on the Western States. Crispin Flower Day from San Francisco ran a sub-3-hour marathon out there. He did a great job. It was fantastic. So yeah, pretty amazing, like, crossovers we have from trail running to road running out in this area. So really cool to see that.
I love it. And Trung Tran, super awesome Mile 99 fan and friend, does a lot of Ironmans. I got to see all their Ironman accomplishments. So congratulations to them.
Claudia Rogus, Rodeo Beach Half. We got a lot of that, you know, people going over to Marin County and all that. So that's a great place to go. And then we also saw Chris Nottingham knocking out the Rattlesnake Dick 50K and then the Placer Trails Running Festival 25K. Got his fill of poison oak, I'm sure, the last few weeks.
We saw Andy Pasternak and Jocelyn Watson. They did different distances, but they're up in Napa. Congratulations to them. I hear that is a tough race. Congratulations to those two.
Absolutely. And then, so Dan Savage, I heard his name. So he's going to be going in and doing some work at Canyons, but he also found the time to train and fit in the AR50 and the Placer Trail Running Festival 50K the next weekend. So he's been hitting it pretty hard. Colin Winter, also Placer Trail Running Festival 50K finisher as well. So that race in its second year is really starting to get some good traction. We got a lot of people interested in that one. I'll have to try that one out sometime soon.
And Colin, I met him at that race, and he was a Bay Area transplant, I believe, and he found our podcast. He's like, and I found my people. And so I'm really glad you're here, Colin. We'll see you next time. We also had Kelly Alaska do Zion 100. I saw her buckle. That looked pretty cool. So congratulations to everyone. Please send us your stories, your wins, your friends' wins. We're so excited for you guys. Before we wrap up, if you guys want to see the nitty-gritty past rapid fire with Sean, Chaz, and Abby, check out previous episodes. But for right now, I'm going to ask them 3 questions independently, really fast. You have to answer the first thing you think of. Chaz, what's your favorite Canyons course?
Canyons 100K.
Awesome. Sean?
Yeah, the 100K.
Abby?
Same, 100K.
The current course? Or current. Did you like current one? Okay. And then Sean, what's your favorite NAC product?
Oh my gosh. This is going to sound disgusting. The soup one. Trust me.
Okay.
Yeah. Potato meat, right. It's yummy. Cold or hot?
All right. Abby, what's your favorite snack product?
Chocolate peanut butter bar.
Yum. And Chaz, what about you?
Same as Abby.
And then Abby, what's your bucket list adventure? After this is all done, what are you thinking about doing?
Oh, well, ultimate bucket list adventure would be some running in Italy.
Yes. Chaz, what about you?
Yeah, I think UTMB would be it.
That would be it. And I think you guys know some people. I don't know. And then Sean, what about you?
I'd like to sleep for a week after canyons.
That seems like an adventure. I love that for you. Okay. Anything on the trail, road, moving your body?
Yeah, I'm a little injured right now. I've been injured for a while. So just to run a mile and feel okay would be amazing.
Well, we'll send you some healing vibes and medical advice and whatever you need to get you back on the trail. We're so thankful for you guys. Sadly, we are at the end of the show. We will have a post show with them. We're going to talk about aid station captains, how long they've been there, and who you might see walking up to an aid station. So if you want to join, Venmo us $1 at the Mile 99 interview, or more if you want, or join our Patreon for as low as $1 a month. It's a reoccurring and you get first dibs on stuff. We also gave our highest Patreon supporter, we gave them a free race to the Mammoth Trail Fest. So we do give back as much as we get for that. So we're really thankful. If you're listening here for the first time, we're at the Mile 99 interview everywhere, Facebook, Instagram. We should probably update our X, and we're on Threads as well, and download anywhere that you listen to your favorite podcast. Thank you guys so much for your time. Everyone who's logged in, and Abby and Chaz and Sean, thank you so much. Lastly, if you've listened to us for a while, please review us. We're going to drop the link somewhere and give us a five star. We're doing a great job over here. Thanks, everyone. And Greg, do you want to send them off?
Absolutely. See you on the trails next weekend.